In a little over a week, the Hansen case will be retold on the silver screen in a new film called Breach, starring Chris Cooper as Robert Hansen and Ryan Phillippe as FBI rookie Eric O'Neill, who helped bring Hansen in. We invited the real Eric O'Neill and the film's director, Billy Ray, into our Washington studios. O'Neill says he didn't set out to turn his time at the FBI into a movie script.
The idea initially was my brother's. My brother was visiting from L.A. He's out there acting and writing screenplays. And I just telling him more about what it was like to be in the room with this guy. Because, by then he knew it was this big Hansen case and they'd seen all the TV stuff. But more about what it was like to just be in a room with this dominating, forceful person.
And his little screenplay mind started
working.
And he
looked at me and I could see his mind start working, right? And I took a sip of his beer and then he looked back at me and he said, "Look, we got to make a movie."
And stop taking my beer.
Yeah. And I said, "You got to be nuts. The FBI would never allow this to happen. It's just impossible. Just put it out of your head. Stop thinking this." He's like, no, we have to do it. Just talk to some people." I'm like, "No, David. But, I mean, look at us now."
So, Billy Ray, how far along was the script when it came to you?
Well, there had been two writers working as a team who had developed a couple drafts for the producer of the film, the late Bobby Neumeier. And he had seen a movie, the first movie I ever directed, which was called Shattered Glass, and he liked it and asked if I wanted to come in to rewrite the script and direct. I took about, a couple of weeks to decide whether or not it was something I thought I could handle, and then decided that it was and jumped in at that point.
Now, Shattered Glass is the story of Stephen Glass, the discredited journalist who made up a whole lot of what he put in print. And in that movie, you were very concerned with what truth is, since using dramatic license in that context would have been ironic at the very least. Did you have similar struggles with this one? How much dramatic license did you feel you could add to an already pretty dramatic story?
I actually felt that the standard for accuracy was higher for Shattered Glass. That's a story about fraudulent journalism, and if you tell that in a fraudulent way, shame on you. This was a different story. I felt less obligation to Robert Hansen. But we were telling the story not so much of Robert Hansen, but the story of Eric O'Neill. He's the emotional window through which we step into this movie. And in order to do that, we had to take the experiences of the 500 people who were working the Hansen case and sort of conflate them into the experience of Eric O'Neill. So that required some compression of events and some compositing of characters and a little bit of embellishing. But what we felt we couldn't make up was who Hansen was, what he had done, what the level of damage he was responsible for was. Those are just matters of historical record you just can't fudge.
And Eric O'Neill, do you think the movie gets them right? I mean, do you think Chris Cooper gets Robert Hansen right?
I think it really does. I was out there for some of the pre-production. They flew me out to meet Chris Cooper and Ryan Phillippe. But Chris, in those couple of days before, any film was loaded in a camera, was reasonably worried that he was never going to see Hansen, talk to Hansen, and he had no model to go on. The only thing he had was my recollection of Hansen, and we spent a lot of time with him saying, "Read this the way Hansen would. Now, can I walk around across the room? He would. What kind of things does Hansen do that, anyone who is one of his buddies would watch the movie later and go, 'Oh, wow, he really got him.'" And it was a process that really amazed me and really made me understand how talented an actor he really is.
"I test you at 25 yards, 15 yards, 7 yards, and 5 yards.
What are you doing?
You want to be an agent or don't you? Prone. Left hand, right hand. 5 yards with gun in holster. You get 3 seconds to fire 5 shots.
What are you doing?
Who is calling you in the car?
What?
I need to know if I can trust you."
I slowly saw him morph into someone who gave me chills. It was like, I really don't want to be in the room with you anymore. It's bringing back a lot of bad memories.
Now, in the movie, Eric O'Neill character, Ryan Phillippe, does not know the full extent of the investigation until about halfway through. He knows that this guy is questionable, that there are some sexual deviances that the Bureau is looking into, but doesn't know the scale. Why make that decision to hold back that piece of information to the audience?
There were two reasons. First was that I wanted to tell a story about the folly of lying in the pursuit of truth, which is what the FBI does, just by definition. And I felt that to tell that story, Eric had to be misled. He had to be given the case under false pretenses. The larger reason is that, for me, what the movie was about was how the experience of being locked in a room with Robert Hansen forces Eric, over the course of the movie, to reevaluate how he feels about his job and his religion and his marriage. He had to come out feeling differently about the Bureau than he felt going in. And so to tell that part of the story, I thought it was really important that he be misled so that it has to ring true. He has to, for the first half of the movie, agree and think, they've got the wrong guy. This is ridiculous. I don't want to be a part of it anymore. So that he gets to the point where he's ready to quit.
You know, I think this whole thing is cooked. I think he keeps shooting his mouth off about the Bureau and nobody knows what to do with him, so we tag him as a deviant and run him out of the building. It's bullshit. The whole thing. It's Kenneth Starr all over again, except I'm running around looking for the blue dress.
Come to admire him, I see.
Yes.
Respect him?
Yes.
Well, that was inevitable.
This all happened 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, a pretty important 6 years in sort of the history of American enemies. It was only a few months after Hansen's arrest that the Twin Towers came down.
Sure.
We all changed our minds about who the biggest threat to America was.
Right.
Did you worry that playing up a Russian threat would seem anachronistic to a 2007 audience?
Absolutely. And, you know, it remains a concern. But for me, I'm not selling tickets to a movie that says the biggest threat of all time right now is the Russians. To me, I'm selling tickets to a movie about these two men locked in a room together, struggling for what was then the fate of the country, and working on each other until one was going to yield. It was always, to me, a dramatic character piece more than it was a thriller.
And when they're not locked in a room together, they're here in Washington. How much did you shoot here?
We had 10 days scheduled here in D.C. We wound up only needing 9 of them. But there were certain things that you just can't get shooting in Toronto.
There's no Washington Monument there.
There's no Washington Monument in Toronto, last time I checked. And there's also no Fairway Drive in Toronto, which was the site of his actual arrest. I really wanted to shoot that exactly where it took place, and we did.
Does the city make it easy on locations?
Oh, awful.
Really?
Oh, terrible. My production designer calls this the land of no. Because there's so much jurisdictional overlap. Like, you might have a spot where the city of D.C. says you can shoot, but the Department of Parks Police say you can't, or the state of Virginia says you can't, or the Secretary of State says you can't. You got to get them all to say yes for the same little 2-inch square piece of real estate. And it's tough, but it's worth it because it's the real deal. You just can't duplicate it anywhere else.
Well, thank you both for coming to the land of no to being on the program. We appreciate your time.
Thank you for having us.
It was absolutely great to be here.
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Rebecca Roberts.